Test. Yeah. Okay. Leviticus chapter 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days, as in the days of her menstruation she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 33 days. She shall not touch any consecrated thing, nor enter the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean for 2 weeks, as in her menstruation, and she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 66 days. And when the days of your purification are completed for a son or for a daughter, she'll bring to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting a one-year-old lamb for burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. This is a law for her who bears a child, whether a male or a female. But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean." Amen. Chapter 11, what we did last week, going all the way to chapter 15 are the rules or the laws dealing with purity and cleansing. And so chapter 11 dealt with eating, you know, for food and whatnot. And now these are what's called the laws of motherhood. And, you know, honestly, today's going to be really short, man. Because there's not much here. But in any case, so when a woman gives birth and she bears a male child, she is supposed to be, and really the idea is she's supposed to be quarantined and set aside for a period of 7 days. If it's if she gives birth to a female, it's for 2 weeks. I try to find out why that is, and there's really not any clear explanation besides just to say that this is just what God decided to do, which I know is not a very good explanation for most of us, but it's what's out there. And so that's why, you know, one of the aspects is that we circumcise our child on the eighth day. And part of it was because there are 7 days of purification for the female, for the mother, and the baby as well. And then on the eighth day, the baby is circumcised. Now, I mean, I could share a little bit about that. You know, we had our son, and so we you know, my wife and I, we wrestled back and forth about circumcision. I mean, we definitely wanted to do it, even though there were people, even within our church, that had a lot of mixed feelings. It's interesting. The fathers who didn't circumcise their kids were also the ones who were not circumcised themselves. And so, you know, I found this incredible correlation between, well, their parents didn't seem necessary for them to do it, and so they didn't really feel like it was necessary for their kids to do it. Now, there's no biblical, you know, we're New Covenant, you know, and whatnot. There is obviously some medical reasons, you know, and things. But we did a lot of research and we studied because, you know, most people that we knew actually circumcised their son on the second day. And that was primarily an insurance issue that, you know, they get released on the third day and so they don't have to pay out of pocket, you know, for that. So they, you know, they did that there. And, you know, so that there was, to me, that is never a really good reason. Like finances should never dictate the way that we live our lives. I mean, personally, you know, meaning lack of funds or whatnot. And so so we kept, you know, studying and reading and we realized that on, for whatever reason, on the eighth day, and this is, you know, some of the journals and some things that we're reading online, that there is an enzyme that a baby produces and it doesn't get produced before the eighth day. And this enzyme actually helps in blood clotting. And, you know, so I started reading this. I was like, man, that's amazing. You know, no wonder God said eighth day. It's not just a ceremonial thing, but it's actually dealing with the overall health of the baby and the infant. You know, Annie, who, you know, was our first mother of boys, you know, when Micah was born at SP years ago, you know, she was telling me that, you know, in her study, and she was reading You know, they were thinking about circumcising Micah, you know, way back in those days. And they were saying that even the pain level, now I didn't read any of this personally, but she was telling me even the pain level is much more tolerable on the eighth day compared to the second day or the third day or whatnot. And so, you know, these things kind of convinced me more. And obviously we had to pay a lot of money for our kid to be circumcised because it was done at a clinic. And so I think it was interesting. In Hong Kong, Andrew was born, you know, at Queen Mary for 250 Hong Kong dollars, which is fantastic, you know, but Andrew was circumcised at a clinic for 9,000 Hong Kong dollars. And so it's crazy, you know, one little procedure, you know, do that. But it's okay, you know, we're happy and blessed to do that for our son and understanding about his pain and just about the blood clotting and all those things. But in any case, let's go back to this. So, now, I don't want you to misunderstand something that's said here. So after, for a male boy, 7 days, and then the eighth day, continue on, and then for a female, 2 weeks, and maybe it's, you know, the only thing that came to mind was 7 days for the mother and 7 days for the daughter, since she's also female. It's not a good case. But 2 weeks, and then afterwards, there's a period of time. It says 33 days for a son and 66 days, so double for a female. And so when you look through that, one of the keys is they are not quarantined, okay? They're not, in other words, they can still mingle with people, they can come out of the house, they just can't go into the temple and they can't sacrifice before the Lord. So anything that's dealing with holy things. And so I don't want you to think that they're totally confined. You know, I know like in Asian cultures, Chinese confine their women for 30 days. Am I correct? Yeah? Chinese people, no, you guys have no idea. Okay, and so in Korean culture, it's much shorter, but there is a confinement period as well. And so some of that, you know, is deemed culturally, especially in the Asian context. But they are allowed to go outside. I know I've heard this. I don't know how true this is, but I heard even in Chinese cultural confinement, they can't take a bath. You know, they're not allowed to bathe, and you know, there's certain stuff. And you know, I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's like, any case, but they are allowed to bathe. They're allowed to live life. They're just not allowed to come into the temple. They're not allowed to sacrifice. They're not allowed to touch holy things. And so the 33 or the 66-day confinement is not totally exclusive. In other words, they're not allowed to do anything. In those first 7 days or those 14 days, yes, they're to be set aside. And the whole point, and I think what God is really trying to lay out, is really the importance of the blood. This, the whole issue of blood is going to play a huge role in the Israelites' lives. It's going to relay something so powerful to them. And so God wants them to be very aware, to be very conscious of the holiness of blood and the blood that God has given to us and also the blood of the sacrifice later of his son. And you'll find that a lot of times in Leviticus, God will really emphasize something. I mean, really tremendously, because there's a really a key point and a key understanding that he wants to relay to the people. And primarily, that key understanding in Leviticus is the issue of holiness, that God is holy, that blood is also holy, and there's a very divine purpose in blood. You know, and now medical science, you know, I mean, I'll say it this way, medical science is now caught up with the Bible, you know, in the sense that they recognize the importance of blood and the power of the blood and, you know, and the life force of blood and all these things. The next part, so afterwards, after this time of purification, they're to come into the temple and make a burnt offering and a sin offering, you know, for this whole issue of blood. And this relates more to in the New Testament, and it says you're supposed to take a lamb and offer it, and then if you're not able to, If you are poor and not able to afford a lamb, which is, you know, big money back then you're allowed to sacrifice two turtle doves or two pigeons based on your, I guess, financial situation. Now, I only mention that because if you go all the way to Luke chapter 2, if you remember when Mary, after the time of purification passes, she goes into the temple, and what does she sacrifice? She sacrificed two pigeons, turtle doves. And just kind of relays to us the status of Christ, that he came from a very, very poor family. They weren't well-to-do. You know, they weren't Hong Kong tycoons. You know, they were very, very humble people. And I think that really speaks a lot to the heart of God and to the character of God, in that the King of the universe, he could have come into the world in any shape, fashion, or form, but God chose to send his son into the most humblest of situations. I mean, not just being poor, but also even being a Hebrew. I mean, they're under, in a Roman rule, they don't even have a country of their own. And it's such a desperate situation for these people. And just in case you don't understand how desperate it was, you know, read through some of the, what we call the intertestamental books, you know, from the writings in between, you know, the close of Malachi, the Old Testament, you know, to the New Testament. And you have all these Jewish writings that talk about the struggle of the Jewish people under Roman rule. You know, you hear about the great Maccabean revolt. There's so many literature that's laid out there, and you can get an idea of the suffering and the oppression of the Jewish people in this time before Christ comes into the scene. And the Lord, he comes in the most humblest of situations, in the most humblest of circumstances. And so as, you know, as kind of an application for us, and so when we are beat down and we are marginalized and we are struggling and we are suffering, and I'm not just talking about financially, you know, but in all different ways that we can endure that kind of oppression or it could even be things that we just simply do to ourselves. You know, you could be oppressed because of your bad behavior or whatnot. But even in all those things, we have a God who understands us. You know, who doesn't sit in an ivory tower, who's not, you know, takes residence in a castle, you know, in a mansion, but actually lives and has lived with the lowly. There's a great passage in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us run to the throne of grace and receive mercy and help in our time of need." And what that passage is saying, that our great high priest, obviously, is Christ. He knows exactly what we're going through. And so when we go through troubling times and difficult situations, that he understands where we're coming from. And he is able to help us and give us grace in the midst of our desperation. And that's really quite a powerful thought, you know, for us this morning. So let's close our eyes. And let's think and meditate on that. You know, all the different stuff that's going on. If you are feeling oppressed, if you are feeling beat down, marginalized, life is taking its swings at you, and you are being knocked down, I know it doesn't feel like a time of rejoicing, but rejoice. Our Lord is with you. He was knocked down. He was marginalized. He was oppressed. He experienced all these things, not just to relate with us, but to be with us. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Maybe it's not you. Maybe there's someone that you know that's going through one of these moments, pray for them this morning.
And you're all I want.
this morning. Let's thank God for His love for us and coming into our lives and our world in the most humblest of situations. He knows you. He understands you. He knows what's going on in your life. So there's no reason to hide. There's no reason to try to run away. Just come before Him and just tell Him what's going on. Maybe you're fine. Maybe there's someone in your life. Pray for them. Pray that they would come to peace with God and a real understanding, and intercede for them in their situation. Let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our community. They're battling cancer and other cancer-related, the chemo, and recovering from surgery. Let's just ask God's hand to be with them and just really release His healing and His comfort. Let's pray for our community that are battling illnesses but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God would really make Himself known to them, even in the midst of their pain and their physical condition. Let's pray for our community going through non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. go to our mission focus and let's pray for China today. Let's ask God to continue to bless this country. I know there's a lot of big meetings going on in Beijing right now. Let's just cover. Pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Sam and the family and the board as they make decisions to further God's kingdom there. Let's pray for Jesse. Pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, the kids in Chichihar, and our churches. Let's just ask God, the Holy Spirit, to just really blow His Spirit upon this land and among our friends. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to bless as we lead and guide the church. Just a note, P. Nate and Monica are on holiday. They'll be coming back this week. So just pray for a real restful time for them. Let's just cover our staff. Pray for our worship, sound, and media teams. Let's pray as they serve the Lord that they would just, it would come out of the flow of their own worship before God. Let's pray over all our equipment as well and ask God's just grace to cover all of our stuff too. Let's pray for Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for just a real spirit of creativity and as they lead out in the spread, the newspaper, and also all the other art initiatives throughout church as well. Let's lift them up. House Church. Let's pray for Cornhill, Bonham, Kowloon, Lang Kwai Fong, East Enders, and Old Peak Road. Let's pray for just the presence of God to come tonight as we not only talk about hearing God's voice, but actually practice it together. Let's lift up. Father, we thank you. God, thank you this morning. Thank you for always thinking of us, God, and always having our best interest at heart. Help us, Lord, today to trust you, God, to trust you with our lives, trust you with everything we put our hands to, God, and trust that you care as well. Watch over us, Lord. We thank you. We bless you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.